You're tuned in to Public Radio KHSU, and in the studio with me today, I have some members with Hip Hop for Change. Today, I'll be talking with Coffrey J., John Hearn, and Ken Sun. Good afternoon, and welcome to KHSU.
Yo, good afternoon.
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Appreciate you having us here.
Definitely.
Yes. Excellent. Thank
you. And I met you...
In front of the co-op.
No, not in front of the Wildberries.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And John was screaming at me to come over. And I'm like, okay, I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah, you heard her say, come talk to us about racism.
Exactly. Yep. And that's what he did. And we started talking. And you are raising money for Hip Hop for Change. Can you tell us?
Absolutely, I better be able to tell y'all. Well,
you're the founder.
Yeah, I'm the founder and director. I was the first Black director for Greenpeace San Francisco, and after about 3.5 years, I went and worked with my community. We started this nonprofit so we could employ people, get a living wage, to stand in affluent neighborhoods and talk about the biggest thing affecting the hood in our eyes, and that's the co-optation of hip hop. So we're a 501c3 public benefit org, and we use grassroots organizing, education, and fundraising to invest in the social justice programs that are through the culture of hip-hop. And first thing the folks have to know is hip-hop is a culture. It's not just rap, that's a facet of it, but it's how we talk, it's our vernacular, our dialectic, it's our fashion, it's how we paint, it's everything. And I can't take it off when the cops come around the corner. And that's a big detriment, because I think right now a lot of people don't understand corporate control of media. We got 6 companies that own 90% of everything, you see, and 3 of them own 90% of the depiction of my culture. And a lot of people think that we're responsible and that's who we are because we're so segregated, and they don't know that, you know, in the Black community, in the brown community, minority, poor communities, we don't have enough financial capital to move a $7 billion industry. 75% of that music is bought by suburban white men between 18 and 24. About 90% by suburban white folks. So this is a minstrel show. It's our culture turned to stereotypical hyperbole for the consumption of suburban white folks to do whatever they do. But when that becomes the majority of the way that we're viewed in society, we get shot more by police, all right, you know? And the people who shoot us or kill us get off on their own recognizance. But one thing that we need to do is, number one, we come into communities, we talk to people, we educate them, inform them, and then we get that means and take it back to our community so we can invest. So we got K-12 curriculums. 3.5 years, we've taught over 4,500 students the history of hip-hop, breaking, rapping, graffiti, and just to love themselves. We've done thousands of hours of volunteer work because we pay our staff a day a week to volunteer in the community or to learn about what we speak on. And my favorite is that we throw fat hip-hop shows to give a paycheck to local progressive artists that more representative of who we are as a community. Most rappers, believe it or not, talk about themselves, right? And so when we can empower and inspire them to keep creating and to keep themselves accessible to our youth, we keep that movement of knowledge in our community. So, yeah, we're kicking a lot of butt, and we need all the help we can get.
Very good. So now I'm curious how John and Ken got involved.
Oh, well, I've been with the organization since about August. Pretty funny story here. I was working sales for I don't remember who. That's how unimportant they were. But what is important is that my first day on the job, first day out, going door to door, knocking on doors, I go to this brother's, Coffrey, that guy right here.
I go to his
dad's house, his mom and dad's house. And I was talking to them, his dad showing me around the garage, showing me, you know, because he a very successful individual, playwright, et cetera, musicals, et cetera. Yeah, pretty good. I see this picture. I'm like, wait, hold on. I recognize this man. That's Coffrey. Like, oh, that's your son? Wow, crazy.
Small world.
The very next day, I'm over here walking to my dad's gym. That's why I'm Ken's son. My dad is Ken. He's a gym owner. I'm not talking about him right now. Anyway, so I walk into the gym, and I run across this person, this brother right here. I'm like, whoa, hey, man, what's up? I was just at your pop's house. Like, what? I'm like selling, I don't know, insurance, something. He's like, man, quit your job.
Quit your job.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. up until a little while ago, about half our staff, I literally told them to quit your job and come on. Let's do it.
Really? Yeah. Coffrey, you told them to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you think about it, you know, how many people punch clocks and they hate it and they're doing that so they can do something else that they dream of, you know? How many people got to, like, look up to bosses that don't care about them two ways around anything? How many people are wasting their lives and things that they don't really want to do and it's not their art or anything like that? Half of our coworkers are artists that are working their butts off, you know? And to be able to build this platform bigger and bigger and to start get some efficacy for us and our community, yeah, get off the plantation. Let's go.
Now, John, how did you get involved?
Well, I guess I should start with my previous job was working with AmeriCorps. That was fun. It was like a 2.5 hour one-way bus ride from like basically South Central LA to San Fernando Valley. One of the things that really got to me, I reached out to a young black man, probably one of the only, you know, ones in his grade, and after like reaching out to him, trying with math, trying with other stuff and health, one of the things that got to him was graffiti art. Like, yeah. I saw him drawing spray cans and doing some basic letterings on his notebook, and I sat down with him and I was able to talk to him about, you know, I'd never done graffiti art, but you know, I paint, so I'm like, I understand how they did the layering techniques to get the colors that they did. So I was able to break down some of that to him and reach out to a kid who literally told me that he had never spoken with a young black man who doesn't have a prison record. Yeah. So me just meeting him and being able to make a connection with him opened up like doors, just my sheer existence. And that's how I had to, like a little bit later after I went through a few things, I sat with a meeting at Hip Hop for a Change before I even, you know, got the job. I was good friends with DeAndre, Grassroots Director. He told me about the organization, and coming in and seeing that people are doing this, and as someone who knows how important art is, yeah, I had to come. Yeah. This is about building community through a culture and an art form that's literally being repressed, and I need to build my community up.
And this is not an unfamiliar story within hip-hop. You got to understand, we come from communities where the tax base is so low, we don't have black crayons first. Mm-hmm. You know, they run out, black, our markers, our ability. Like, we don't have Prismacolor marker mm-hmm. sets and dance class and stuff like that. And that's where hip-hop grew from. I can go beat on a wall, make a beat, and find out stuff I never thought I knew. And, you know, we have all these kids who are amazing in speaking about what they experienced and expressed. And the more we can direct them to start to critically analyze their communities instead of all the stuff that American mm-hmm. media and all American media, what is Oedipus about, all right? You know, what is Macbeth about? What is All My Children about? The only reason why it's so detrimental here is because 75% of white people in America report not having a person of color for a friend, let alone a cisgenderhood black man like ourselves, you know what I'm saying? But it doesn't stop them from having an opinion. And that comes from us being represented in only 3% of media, oversex black women, big brawny athletes that are, you know, you know, rappers. You know, it's really easy to commodify a CD and then get it out there, but you have to homogenize anything you're selling massively to the lowest common denominator of American media. And you can't do that with my culture. I won't let it happen. We won't let it happen. We're fighting every day. And we've taught 4,600 students in our classes. This is not new, something that John just said. It's like I heard a kid in our class say, I didn't know I knew how to draw before. Mm-hmm. And homie, you're in 10th grade. Somebody didn't like throw a crayon at you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is the shame. It's that, you know, even when our kids do get to do band, we have to play classical music, and that's fine. You know, I play classical music, jazz band, but I'd probably still be doing it if I was able to be that bassist or that violinist that's getting famous in Carnegie Hall playing hip hop now, right? We would have stuck to that. So the biggest point I can make is when you take African-American kids through curriculums that deal with their identities and utilize their identities for learning, they do better than white kids across the board. The crux of that is that culture is the proper vehicle for education. It's to make sure you love yourself. And if you love yourself, you might invest in yourself. If society says you suck, you know, you might say forget society and rebel. And so even if you do that, it's important to have a community that's going to be there to pick you up.
And that's what you've created.
That's what we've created. I couldn't do this alone.
Yeah, I know. I just
thought I could do something, and I got really good at talking to folks and being like, come on, let's go, I'm telling you. And I think, you know, what I did is I had the best idea I've ever heard, you know, and I ran with it. And some folks taught me some stuff, and I thought I could do it, and here we are. It's not easy, you know what I'm saying? But if you folks want to get involved and they want to change this narrative, because I'll tell you this, when 90% of the consumers of hip-hop are suburban white people, it could be a really good bridge, you know what I'm saying? If we controlled it, if we had self-determination and letting them access our culture in a more respectful way. So if you want to help us to do that, if you want to help to empower black and brown people, and really hip-hop's always been the most diverse community of any American original culture, but if you want to help us out, you can go to hiphopforchange.org. You can text the word hip-hop with no spaces to 797979 and get linked up, get on our email list. And right now we're in a huge summer donor drive. It's like a Netflix or Up, and you could give us some more stability. We're not as big as Greenpeace yet, but just to say thank you, when you get to Frisco in the Bay Area, we'll let you come to our shows for free. And yeah, there's always get involved. There's hundreds of local artists on our website, and yeah, just get involved.
You made the connection. Now, when are you going to come to Humboldt County? I mean, I know you're here fundraising, but yeah, when are you going to have an organization here?
Hip Hop for Change will be out here within the coming months. We're going to be at the Reggae Festival, probably just talking to people, you know what I'm saying? You know, getting the feelers out, building these grassroots a little bit more. But, you know, because of the unique position we're in, where we're able to not only, you know, talk to kids, but also put on shows, we're getting connected with people out here as well. So venues are opening up. That's another good reason to hop on, you know what I'm saying? Join with what we're doing. John, you got something to say?
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to say that I just talked to a professor who helps run the debate team. So I gave him the contact information of our education coordinator. Hopefully we can get something up and we can have our first presence up in HSU.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
And another thing, last time we were here, the first time, it was around the time people were protesting for that horrendous thing that happened to Josiah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. But... you know, while we were having lunch, we had like a liaison from the hip-hop community showing us around, you know what I'm saying? So hip-hop is a culture of people coming together. Hip-hop is rooted in peace, love, unity, and having fun. Look it up. And yeah, when we come up to a spot like this, we're going to build those connections. People want us to rap. People want us to bring the community members up here. People are offering us venues. We're here with you right now.
I know.
This is hip-hop to us. So yeah. If you build it, they'll come. And I think we should come up here probably once a month for the foreseeable future, because y'all are showing us a lot of love. We're members of the co-op right now, right? Wildberries loves us, so thank you guys so much for just being amazing out here, Arcata. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, I wanted to second that. Definitely much thanks to everybody out here in Arcata, everyone we've talked to, the positive folks, not so positive folks, whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because just being able to reach out and touch many members of the community with what we do on a regular basis is very powerful, and we appreciate so many people in Arcata being so welcoming and so generous and kind to us.
And that's actually why we're willing to go through all the other cats that we see to find y'all, so thanks.
And I think in the future we're definitely going to plan on hooking up with the BSU Brothers United, was it Serenity Sisters, and the other black organizations up here that are linked up with the school. I have a couple connections that I need to really just start hitting them up.
Hit them up.
Well, you know what? We're out of time. Mm-hmm. So we're going to post this on our website as well, and some links to your organization for sure.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Coffrey, John, and Ken, for coming in and talking with me today and talking to our listeners. Thanks for all of your education and positive spirit.
Of course.
And educating the youth.
Absolutely. Peace. Thank you so much.
Peace.
Thank you.